This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new unrivaled league, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, I love afternoon baseball because I'm home to see it, but then I don't have evening baseball, and then I come to miss it. And we get the Yanks and the Mets, a little afternoon action today, obviously different times here. Mets in about 3 hours or so. The Yankees, a couple of minutes away out there in Detroit. Rangers, malfunction, meltdown, collapse, implosion, embarrassment, however you want to frame it. They just continue to crawl and embarrass themselves toward the end of the season. NCAA championship game. Oh, you know, I had a break, and I didn't get to add this, and then we'll get back to these phones here, all those topics. Rodon as well, 888-808-1019. You know, I don't want to not. Is that a double negative? Nah, I'll just go with it. Not point out the reason for the change in the NCAA tournament and the lack of upsets. Now, yeah, you want to tell me NIL, and I could say that as well, but you know, this is crazy to me, and I hate this. Because if I'm a college coach, there is no way around this. Zero, right? And you could take Stony Brook, you could take my alma mater, Marist, you could take Fairfield, you could take Iona, you could take LIU or Hofstra or St. Francis when they used to have a team in Brooklyn. Wagner. Central Connecticut State. I could do that all day. I could list these schools. I mean, Rider, the neighboring schools, right? How the hell do you build a good team that is good for more than 1 year when every single all-conference selection bounces for money in the portal? How? Now, I saw a stat the other day where literally every first and second team all-MAC, which is, again, Marist and Fairfield and Siena, and my former conference, right? Anyway, all of them, first and second team, they all left. Now, let's get this straight. If you're a coach at one of those schools, you're not getting a five-star kid. You're not getting a four-star. You're not even getting three, pretty much. You might get a two from a good Catholic school if you're like a Marist or a Fairfield or a Siena with a good academic profile. You'll get a couple of those kids. Not a ton, but you'll get a couple. And then you get them and you coach them up and you uncover this gem. You polish them up. You get them ready to be, by the time he's a junior, you know, a breakout 20-point-per-game player, you know, the type of player that would always lead that type of school to a nice run in March Madness. And now here come the Vultures. Here's 100, and this isn't even big money, 150,000, 200, maybe three or four. Leave those schools, come with us. What do those old those other schools do? I don't know what you do if you're a mid-major coach. I don't know. You can exist. You can make a decent living. You can't possibly build anything that's sustainable. It's impossible. Impossible. So there's a lot of things that have led to this, but if you could put all that aside, hopefully you guys enjoyed the championship last night. You know, how about that? Hakeem Olajuwon could not get on the court the previous Saturday during the national semifinal. Oh, check this out. So, Hoff, I'm going to need you to wait on this at some point. I'm not a big video game guy. I wasn't, you know, when I was younger, I played like Donkey Kong. You know, obviously some of those games, Contra, I used to really love Contra. Yeah, I guess Sonic the Hedgehog, whatever. That was when I was a little bit older. I was just mindless. I did enjoy that. And all sports games, right? These joysticks, not even joysticks. I wish they were joysticks. I could still play. These controllers, I don't know what the hell's going on. So last night, Hoff, I sit down with Colt and we play NBA 25, right?
First of all, is this Xbox or PS5?
This is Xbox.
Got it.
Okay. And we're sitting down there. It's after dinner. I'm like, yeah, we hadn't played in a long time. He'll play once in a while with his buddies, but I hadn't played with him. So he asked me to play him. Yeah, I'll play with you, bud. So I am the all-time Knicks. That's my team. So I got Ewing at center. I've got Willis Reed at the power spot, power four. I've got Bernard King at the small forward. I've got Clyde at the one. And I started Richie Guerin at the two, right? And I got Carmelo coming off the bench, some others, right? And I'm playing, I don't know what the hell. I'm passing what I mean to shoot. I shoot what I mean to pass. I'm going out of bounds because I think I'm dribbling. I'm just trying. I lost. I think the score was 81-30. And, like, he just lays it on. He hits threes. He laughs at me. Like, he did at one point start taking threes from half court just to kind of ease up a little bit. Because I think he wants me to get competitive enough where it's a challenge for him. And then he'll lambaste me. But I'm not a challenge. Do you think... Because I know you play more than me. I know you play with Ant, maybe JD as well. Do you think that I've got the bandwidth to figure out these freaking controllers? Because I haven't touched one in a couple of months. I don't know what to do.
No, you don't, because you need to give it a lot of time. That's the problem. You will have to sit there for hours to figure it out, and I don't think you're going to give it the time, the proper time needed.
I'm not. Then, okay, that's the short answer. I got you. Even during the game, now you can go through the uniforms, all that you could do, arm sleeves, leg wraps, headbands, and I'm like, all right, this is cool. I got to at least look the part, and then I got lost by 40. But even like, sometimes I notice they call a timeout when I didn't want them to call a timeout. I guess they sense I'm getting my face kicked in. They're like, let's call a timeout. I don't even want to sit there. I'm like, he's like, oh, Dad, you could do 2-3 zone. You could do 1-3-1. You could, I'm like, nah, just play. Hit the button. Like, because the old way, you could just hit the button and then go to
you
the first key.
It. Yeah, exactly.
You know, like, yeah, you're like you're just pounding the button and you start.
Now you have to hold the button down.
I don't have patience.
Yeah, well, here's the thing is the best part about it as being adults, being fathers, personally speaking, the best part is setting it up. It's not about playing the game. It's like you said, put the headband on, put the attire on, picking the old jerseys. Like, that's cool, picking the old players. I like that. The kids actually want to play the game. I just want to set my guy up, make him look cool, and then just call it a day.
No, I got you. Listen, it's definitely about the style. You got to look good to play good. I look good. I didn't play well, so hopefully that'll change. And it's funny because that's where – so he was – I was the all-time Knicks team, as I said. He was the 90s all-star, so he's rolling out actually, at one point it was Ewing on Ewing because Ewing all-time versus Ewing with the 90s. He had Jordan. He had Drexler. He had Hakeem. And he's like, wait. He's like, Hakeem. He's like, wasn't that the – The big man who they wouldn't let on the court. I'm like, yeah. So I was able to talk about him
there
in college.
So,
you know.
It all comes full circle.
Little connectivity. I mean, we always talk about that stuff. But Hakeem, dude, how long ago was that? My God. All right, let's get to the calls. Enough rambling. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal. Minus Sal on the fan. Let me get Timmy and Seacliff. Tim, what's happening, bud? How you doing today?
Okay, guys. I just wanted to get your point on the game last night, the college or the best championship game. You know, I'm a big fan of college football and basketball,
yep.
And the refs are just ruining the game. You know, last night, with about 15 minutes to go, Houston had one foul, Florida had seven. From the next 12 to 13 minutes, they called 10 fouls on Houston, and they called one on Florida. Like, you mean to tell me there was no fouls committed by Florida for over 13 minutes of the game?
Well, here's the thing. You know, no, I'm not saying that. No, I mean, listen, obviously, I'm not saying that they wanted, you know, Florida to lose. But I will say this, Tim, because I saw this with my own eyes with St. John's, who's not as good defensively as Houston, but pretty damn close. I don't think enough people associate the skill level that is required to play that brand of aggressive defense like the Cougars, like the Johnnies, like a few others, and not commit a ton of fouls. Now, if you're a big St. John's fan, you will remember that Simeon Wiltshire had some early foul issues during the season. So did Aaron Scott. But generally, you know, Kadari, outside of the game against Arkansas, was an absolute beast and never had foul issues. Same with Zuby. Same with R.J. Lewis. So I just think that the reputation of Houston, this isn't the first time they're this good. You know what I mean? They've been around on the national scene for a couple of years now with Kelvin Sampson. I think refs know how they play. And I think there's an appreciation and a tolerance and an expectation that's built in, even if it's unknowing. Like, it's not that they're favoring them. It's just that they do what they do, and they let them do what they do because they've earned it, if that makes any sort of sense. Let me get How about, let me get Bruce in Flushing. Bruce, BT and Sal.
Hey, BT. Rangers and Yankees, before I get to that, I want to tell you, I really enjoyed your, as a color announcer on the Yankee games when you filled in for Susan. You really did a great job for doing that.
I appreciate that. That was, you know, to be very honest, that was absolutely a professional highlight that I never thought I'd have a chance to do. And I was just happy that I made, certainly myself, but the Yankees proud. That was all. I had a blast. Thank you.
As an all-time Yankee fan, really enjoyed it.
Thanks, dude.
Rangers, first. Not because the Rangers didn't make the playoffs, but that's part of it. Down the stretch, and even before down the stretch, there's been 15 to 20 games, at least, where the Rangers came to the game and were totally unprepared or totally didn't give a damn. Mm. And plus the fact, how many times have you watched a Ranger game? I don't know how many times you have, but when the guys are open in front of the net and with the defense, and the power play now, which is this team was built on, is totally gone. So that's why I say the entire coaching staff has to go.
And it seems like it's going to. And by the way, it's not like, you know, last night they were ready to play because they were sort of on offense, getting most of the shots to start the game. But when you are fighting for your playoff lives, Bruce, and you have this kind of a drop from the year before, it's not that you're just not ready to play games, again, which they were last night. It's everything. It's the power play. It's depth. It's goaltending in certain spots. It's coaching. It's not being ready to start one game and then not being able to finish another. It's everything. Everything's hit the Rangers this year. What was your Yankee thing, by the way?
Now, not to sound like an old fogey, but I understand talk radio is a factor in this, but I go back to the old days, you know, with Art Rust Jr., when Marty Glickman had talk radio, mm-hmm. he was on 11 o'clock at night, and other people, even Dave Sims had his own talk show host, a show. And of course, your fans, you know, second guess, but it wasn't to this degree. People, and also, I find the hosts on the shows either overreact or want to stage it so they overreact for a reason to get people riled up. And baseball is not built like that. Yeah, you can complain when they lose a tough one. Yeah. You can complain when they don't play well. But to the level of degree that reaction of both talk show hosts and fans has gone to a ridiculous level, in my opinion.
Okay. Now, I respect that opinion, Bruce, and thanks for the call, buddy, and definitely thank you for the kind words about a couple of the games in the Yankee booth. Here's what I'll say about that. It's not staged, and I'll just talk for me and Sal here. It's not staged. What has happened, now, radio, I can't speak for the music aspect. Talk radio, you can't just program to somebody to say stuff. So as much as things have changed in the industry, sports radio is still thriving. That's a fact, all right? But I do think what's happened is that a little bit of nuance has been lost and a little bit of conversation and a leading up to maybe a deeper conversation has been lost. And I'll tell you why. I will acknowledge that. Because with so many options out there, so many digital options, podcasts, if you start a show, right, and, you know, you, hey, what's going on? How's there? You got this, maybe a little bit of that. And you do that for 6 or 7 minutes, kind of like the old days where you'd ease into a show. The willingness for the consumer to sit there through that has dissipated. So there's been a change. I'm going to take it behind the curtain. There's been a little change. And quite frankly, I didn't love the change because I like to start shit. What's going on? How you doing? Like, I don't think there's anything wrong with saying hello. Honestly, like, I like to converse and talk to you before I just jump into it, you know? But because there's so many things out there, you risk losing people because their patience is not what it used to be. And Art Russ, who I never heard, but of course, because I was too young for that, I know Dave Sims was on the middays here, but I don't remember hearing Dave. I don't. I know that clearly he was here for a bunch of years. And I love Dave doing the Yanks, and I like him as a guy. But I don't remember him doing sports radio per se. Even back then, though, the options were just not nearly as many as there are now. So you really can't waste time. You almost can't ease into it. And I think that it takes away, unfortunately, one of the byproducts. Now, there's a lot of good things about this. You can get us anytime. Like, if you guys miss Mike and Chris back in the day, you're screwed. You miss Mike and Chris. Whereas if you miss me and Sal, and you're like, oh, I can't wait to see what these dudes are going to, these two nuts are going to say today after like a Jet loss or a Giant game or a bullpen malfunction for the Yanks or the Mets, and you miss us, you just go on the free Odyssey app and you get it. So that's a good thing. So I'm not saying, oh, back in the day, it was so much better. Back in the day, sports radio was actually kind of boring in certain regards. I think that interviews have gone away. Like, I mean this from the bottom of my heart. No disrespect. Beat writers, not interested. Not interested in having you on the show. It's not what we do. Now, back in the day, Mike and Chris, maybe pop somebody on. Joe B, even Joe and Evan. Yeah, it's not what we do. And I know that that's kind of a couple of different twists and turns there, Bruce, but, you know, I've heard you call the station for a long time. And I wanted to show you that respect with an answer that was thoughtful and really let you know why it's kind of become that. And if you don't, and I promise you, there are going to be things that are said on this show and for me that turn out to be flat out idiotic. Like the Lindor stuff. I don't know, Sal. This guy looks like he shouldn't hit lefty anymore. Okay. Almost won the MVP, buddy. Yeah. Can we get that back? No. You can't get it back. Freezing cold takes, calls, just, you know, screenshots of tweets. It's what it is. It's why I don't let it bother me. It's why I don't care. It's almost like every show is almost a separate entity. Whereas back in the day, every show kind of bled into, like, a Tuesday show was kind of residue from a Monday show. I probably gave you more on this than I needed to, but that's what's going on. And Mike and Chris didn't have Pat McAfee, who's a monster. You know, Mike and Chris, and this is not to diminish them at all, they're the GOATs. This is not to diminish them. They didn't have to deal with Stephen A. Smith being this media monster. We do. And that's fine. Challenge taken. Let's go. I'll put myself up against anybody, and I'll put me and Sal up against anybody, and I'll put Sal by himself up against anybody. But you got to get from point A to point B quicker because people are jumping in and out. That's the long answer. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal on the Fan. Pat's in Brooklyn. Pat, what's happening, buddy?
Hey, BT, I was calling to make you feel better about yourself. I have a quick story for you, my man.
Oh, about the how I fake an old man with the computer games, the video games these days?
Yes, my girlfriend's son at the time was 9 years old. He purposely put the NBA 2K game on one player, and I thought I was controlling the joystick.
Dad, how long did it take you to figure it out? Final buzzer,
The third quarter.
Oh, come on, dude. Pat.
I'm telling you, he was so convincing. His mother was in on it. I got so mad, I smashed the controller. I felt so stupid from a 9-year-old.
How long ago was this?
11 years ago.
And how 20. Old were you? How old were you then?
I'm your age. I think you're 52.
Yeah, I'll be 52. So you were in your early 40s, basically early 40s. I mean, yeah, Pat, That's unacceptable, Pat, for basically three quarters. Come on, I understand fumbling around a little bit.
It wasn't the Atari joystick with the red button.
I love that thing. Yeah, and by the way, even the ColecoVision and the Intellivision, thanks for the call. I can figure those things out. These damn controls, I can't stand them. You know, I used to love video games. I truly did. You probably heard this somewhere along the line. I'm playing my buddy in college. I think maybe like RBI baseball, one of those old school baseball games. And there was a glitch, and I was always the Yankees. And the Yankees weren't even that good yet. It was like Velarde, obviously Mattingly, but Velarde, Matt Noakes, Pat Kelly, you know, there wasn't the dynasty yet. I could promise you that. And I guess it may have been Gallego at shortstop makes an error, and it wasn't my fault. Like the ball just goes through his legs because it was a glitch, and it's going to happen unexpectedly. I couldn't control it, and we would play for like a buck or two, and we would carry over 7-game World Series. He was Seattle, dude. It goes. It's the last inning, base loaded, two out. I lose. Oh God, what idiot I was. I stand up. I rip the control. I rip the entire console out of the wall. And throw it out of our window. I'm living off campus up at Marist, right? And, like, it breaks because I'm on the second floor. And then a car comes later. It runs over the game. Like, I used to play a lot. We used to play NHL Live. We used to play Tiger Woods. We used to play baseball. But it was just easy to figure out. I don't have time for this nonsense.
Well,
dude.
I got to be honest with you. That was the normal reaction to have, is to take the console, rip it out, and throw it out the window. That's just like...
So I'm not alone?
No, I think you might be the one of like a billion people that... No, actually, no, that's not
I
true.
I mean... So
I had a friend that would do something similar.
Okay.
But you don't throw it out the window. You throw the controller against the TV. That's what you did.
Yeah, because you always get a new controller. It's maybe 10, 12, 15
bucks. You don't
bucks.
Break the console. You
well, I broke the console.
Yeah.
Like an idiot. Yeah, idiot. Guilty. Now, what's the video by Billy out of Cradle of Love? You know, have you seen that video?
Cradle
Rock
of Love.
Rock the Cradle think... of Love.
No.
No.
White Ooh. Wedding, I've seen.
What? Oh, White Wedding? Yeah. I don't like that song. It's too slow for me. I don't like every... No, honestly, I don't like every...
Can I spoil what you just said to me off air?
What?
You go, oh, Billy Idol, I didn't know you liked this song, Rebel Yell.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't. I just, I play things that I think that are hits that people are going
to
like.
Yeah. Now, where do you find them, though? Because it's an interesting database that seems to change by the day.
It's called My Brain.
My Brain.
It's all about what's up in here. I love music. I would like to think that I have a very vast, eclectic musical taste.
I would agree that you do, though I was very surprised when this came up the other day with me and Sal. I think it was 3RQ when we were talking about Val Kilmer, that you never saw the Doors movie with Val.
I love the Doors. Specifically, my father put me onto the Doors, so I have tons of great songs from them that I love.
Mm-hmm.
I just was not into them as much. And again, it's a weird thing. I think I've talked to you about this before, too. I don't really like movies based off of things that I like. Like, I don't really need to see a documentary. Even though it's not a documentary, it's a real movie, you know.
More of a depiction.
Yeah, exactly. I don't need to see it. Like, I have my vision of it, and I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, no, I get that. I think somebody like that in the 60s and 70s, when did Morrison die? Whatever it was, that period.
Was
where
it 70?
I think it was 70 or 71. And
I went and visited his grave.
Where is it?
It's in Paris.
Is it really?
Yeah. There was a lot. That's where I met an adult film star.
Guy or a girl?
A girl.
Oh, let's yes. guess here.
You're not going to know her name.
I remember a bunch of them from back in the day.
You're not going to know her name.
Come on, what's her name?
Her name was Penny Flame.
Penny Flame?
Yes.
Huh.
Yes.
Okay.
Good night.
Really? I want... Oh, good.
Not
you,
that
you
way.
Met her? Met and hung out with her?
We hung out for the whole... I've pictured
you
myself.
You hooked up with her?
No.
I don't mean to be so forward, but you said you met a porn star.
We hung out all day. We chilled. We met up there. They were drinking and doing some other things.
What did you hook up with her?
I wasn't in the mood. It was...
What?
Because I got to be honest with you, at the end of the night, it was a long day, and we were traveling to like 7 different areas.
Okay.
And like spent like 7 days, 10 days. And I had no interest in doing
anything.
Drink
a Red Bull, dude. That doesn't cross the table too often.
No. I have a picture in front of the Eiffel Tower, though.
I got you. But I was going to ask you before I get back to the calls here. So you said your dad turned you on to the Doors, right?
The Doors, yeah.
This will give a good sense of how we are very different. Although I'm eclectic, too, with my musical taste here. Like, when you close your eyes and get the soundtrack from your home as a kid, what your mom and dad were playing.
Yes.
What do you hear? Give me two or three groups or...
Jim Croce... Bob Seger.
Oh, wait, I like Jim Croce.
Yeah.
What's that? Jeez. Leroy Brown.
Leroy,
right?
Yeah.
Bad Leroy Brown. That's a good one. All right, Croce, who else?
He loved the ELO. He still does, and again, he's alive. He loves ELO, Electric Light Orchestra, which I love, too.
Okay, I know him a little bit, yeah.
They were into like a lot of folk stuff, but the Beatles, used to be on repeat all the time. Sgt. Pepper's.
All right. Well, I mean, those are classics. You can't quibble with those. I got a little bit of everything. I got like a lot of Kenny Rogers from my mom.
Mm-hmm.
I got a lot of doo-wop from my dad. Four Seasons, all that stuff. I mean, when we would drive to Long Island to see family, friends, it was torture because we're going out to Blue Point and you got to go on the Bell Parkway and the Southern State. It would take for hours during the summer. And he would make us listen to 101, the oldie station. I'm like,
I love doo-wop, though. That was more.
Oh, I like it now. I didn't like it when I was 9 years old. I get a little Michael Jackson.
Are you kidding me?
The Police?
Oh, no. Doo-wop was always good. And listen, I learned that more from my grandparents than anything else. My grandparents were big on the doo-wop.
Okay. And I also heard a lot of disco, like Donna Summer. My mom would play Donna Summer. Hey, don't be shaking your head
at
Donna Summer.
Only,
take it easy.
That is the era. That's why I don't like the 70s as much, because I'm not a disco guy.
You
do, not
well,
even
and
close.
The 70s, I know I you despise it.
I do.
I know you do. And it's funny, though, because the beginning of the 70s was a bleeding over of Woodstock, et
yeah.
cetera. Jimi Hendrix, The Doors, you know, Creedence Clearwater. I could just go on and on. But then as you get to the mid-ish and then the late 70s, it's disco. You couldn't have two polar opposites.
I know. And by the way, just to clear up, Jim Morrison died in 1971.
There you go.
Croce died in 73. I remember
that
one.
I didn't know it was that early.
Yeah. I think he got into a big... bed. I think it was a plane accident, plane crash.
Croce had some bangers. Like, if I hear that on 70s on 7, which I pop that on once in a while, I'll keep his music on. I like Croce.
Time in a Bottle. That's my jam.
There you go. All right, let's get back to the calls. PT and Sal, 888-808-1019. Is that SY? Is that how we say it, Hoffy? Out in Brooklyn. What's up, SY?
Yeah, thank you for taking my call.
Yes.
One quick question about the Mets, then I'll hang up.
Well, you can have a conversation. You don't have to hang up. You don't have to hit and run. Let's talk it through. What do you got?
Yeah, why don't the Mets just keep Acuna up or Beatty? Just I don't care which one. Just let one of them get going up here, and then maybe he'll get good. If he's not, give him a month and then switch.
Well, I mean, they might. I mean, the season started a week and a half ago. So what you're saying is you would send one of them down
McNeil's
now?
McNeil's coming back.
No, I know. I understand that. So who do you like better? I mean, you got to like Acuna better than Beatty, right? Because he could do more.
Nah, see, we saw him spring training. You see what he could do.
I mean, I was leading the Beatty train for a little bit here. I just don't know if he's ever going to find it here. What's happening?
Just Hoppy? An update too, because Mendoza spoke a little while ago. Francisco Alvarez is starting a rehab assignment in Port St. Lucie tomorrow.
Okay.
Jeff McNeil is going to start later this week. He's at he was at Citi Field a little while ago, like warming up. I think yesterday.
Yeah.
But then I think he's flying down to Port St. Lucie to start to warm up because it's not very warm here.
No, he's going to start ramping things up. Well, Alvarez was actually at opening day. I remember he caught a bullpen for. Sango, we talked about that. So, all right, you know, it's funny. Even though they lost yesterday, I've been in a pretty good mood with the Yanks. It's fun watching these young kids assert themselves, and you know, I'm looking forward to getting Heel and Schmidt back, and obviously getting the pitching better and seeing Devin Williams do better than he's looked so far. But I've enjoyed the start to the season. But then I read something yesterday. I'm like, here we go. The first DJ LeMahieu is on track for blah blah blah. And, Dove, you saw that because you're shaking your head. You're the executive producer for the Yankees. If they shove DJ LeMahieu down our throats, I'm going to lose it. He can't play anymore. He's done. Now you tell me about the 20-day rehab, which I believe is the max, and, you know, the calf, and he's going to ramp things up. Like, that's supposed to excite us. And I'm not here to, honestly, I'm not here to disparage a really good player. You know, a proud veteran, but he's done. You can't have a youth movement and then, you know, try to wedge DJ LeMahieu back into the equation. I will say this. I don't think they will. You know, I understood why. All right. He put in some time this winter, best shape of his life. Where do you hear that? He's ready to go. He's fully healthy. Really focused on conditioning and stretching and running, blah, blah, blah. Didn't really swing a bat. He's just ready to get in shape. And then he gets hurt basically on the second or third day. But I understood at least before that happened, like, why the Yankees would say, all right, I'm going to go back to the well once more with DJ. His contract's not up. We don't really have a third baseman that's distinguished himself yet. We're not paying $70 million for Arenado with the St. Louis Cardinals. So we'll see what he has. And we'll do a little platoon mix and match. But they have to see... No, not that their base has been amazing. I mean, Peraza's had a couple of big hits. You know, I like Cabrera twice a week. So I guess maybe in their minds, they're like, well, you know, let's just get the final answer. I just don't think he's viable anymore. Like, I don't know how he just looks. He looks like a softball player. Like, he's morphed into from a really amazing textbook, all fields, high contact, you know, up the middle, line drive hitter that you would teach a high school kid. Like, that's a great approach to a guy who can't even move. And I saw that. I'm like, I don't want to start getting peppered with DJ LeMahieu articles. I'm not interested. It's not happening. At least I hope it doesn't.
Call of the day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Mark in Brooklyn. Mark, what's happening?
My least favorite argument is, well, you know what? It's a little cold. His velocity is going to pick up. BT, we're both Northeastern guys. When was the last time it was 75 and sunny in October in the World Series? When this counts, his velocity might not be up. So at the end of the day, all these Rodon supporters, he's got to step up. He's got to be better. I do focus on what he's getting paid because of the budget that we have. Like, we think about maybe trading for a Sandy or, you know the names better than I do, trading for some guys. How are you going to do that with all we've invested in our pitching? I think Sal made the point. How much more are you going to invest, BT? At some point, you either step up or you don't. And I think, you know, not to cross over the subject, but it's kind of, we're both big Knicks fans. It's kind of what we're facing with the Knicks right now is it's not even addition. It's more the guys you have either got to step up or, all right, you'll win a series, you'll play around a little bit, and then you'll get knocked.
All right, there you go. The BT and Sal call of the day. We'll get back to those calls, 888-808-1019 here with BT and Sal. So this was interesting. Hoff and I spotted this at the exact same time. Denver is going to be hiring a new basketball coach next year. I don't want to piece too much of this together here, but Michael Malone, son of Brenda Malone, and we know the name, and we love the family, is out as Denver's basketball coach. Now, I mean, I don't know what's been going on there. I know there's been some very strange locker room takes. I've seen some post-game reaction just on the national stuff that'll pop in NBA TV, whatever it is. I'm like, ugh, you know, Denver's, it's been a rough ride this year. They won the championship back in 2022, 2023, won 53 games, won 57 last year, won 54 back in 2018, 2019, was an assistant for the Warriors when they were beginning their rise and their prominence, their dominance there. So Michael Malone no longer has a job. And, you know, I'm not trying to at all, because I hope Tom Thibodeau's here for a long time. But let's just connect a few dots. Michael Malone was born in Queens. His dad used to work for the Knicks. He spent time at Seton Hall Prep, about 20 miles away in New Jersey. All right? And he was also an assistant with the Knicks for a couple of years. And we're kind of at the point, and he's got a championship. And we're kind of at the point now, and this will be a story for the next, you know, 5 weeks, hopefully beyond that for the Knicks here. This is going to be a very important month for their coach. Beginning tonight, you know, with the Boston Celtics. Hoff, have you seen anything from, I remember me and Sal were saying this, you know, yesterday, like there's a thought they might not roll out their starters. Anything on the Celtics, who they're going to play here?
I haven't seen anything with their starting lineup just yet, but I'll keep on diving in.
Yeah, I mean, is it too much to ask the Knicks to beat one of these good teams once? I mean, are you going to really take a donut against the Celtics, the Celtics and the Cavaliers and the Thunder? Not going to win once. I mean, I understand that there's just certain teams you might not match up with, and there's maybe some circumstances to the season, whether it's been some injuries, whatever. But, I mean, how am I, and I love the Knicks, but how am I supposed to take the Knicks incredibly serious when they can't beat the elite teams? I can't, you guys can do it for me because I'm not doing it, and I haven't done it all year. And again, I want to distinguish between serious and, like, I know that they're good, but for me, it's beyond that. Like, you win 50 games, you're good. Of course you're good. You know, they're one of the 5-6 best teams in the NBA. But they're at a very, I think some of you would say they're one of the top 3 or 4, too. I don't know if I quite agree with that. I might stretch those boundaries the other way. Oh, come on, Goldschmidt, what are you doing? Kicking it around there like Rizzo, trying to spin the 3-6-3. Yankees defense been a little shaky here. Tigers up 1-0, by the way. That game is on 660 if you want to check it out after me. And I'm just saying, I think it's a very interesting week for the Knicks because they're playing a couple of teams they haven't beaten. They're playing a team that they might play in the Pistons in the first round. I think that last game is against the Nets. Who knows what it means? Probably nothing for seeding, whatever. But now the scope of criticism, which I think many of you, and I respect you, you know, for not jumping in on this. Many of you have not done this the way I have, but now it's inevitable. Now it's coming. Because here we are back at the same place that we were a year ago. The only difference is, you know, now it's back-to-back 50-win seasons, and now the expectations are a little different. You know, the Knicks have not won, have not had back-to-back 50-plus win seasons since 91-92, 94-95. Because think about that. The 54-win season with Melo was not sandwiched by a 50-win season. So it's been a minute, and we know that if you're big Knicks fans. Last year, it was a fun ride, and it was a tough team, and it was a team that was ascending, and it was a team that was interesting. And I do want to be fair to this collection or these Knicks here. I don't need them to microwave themselves into a championship team. I don't think that that's how it goes. It's very rare that you make an addition like they did, especially right before training camp like they did, and change two components that were defensive, that were tough, and that were very much leaders and respected in DiVincenzo and Hartenstein, and just, you know, continue that linear step forward. No, it doesn't always go like that. I get it. But I ask you this, and I've asked you this all year, whenever we talk about the Knicks, do they feel like they're ready to go on a championship run this year? You could say maybe based out of hope that you could say, yeah. And I'm going to say, based on hope, I'm going to say, yeah. That's derived from hope. That's not necessarily derived from merit based on what they've done this year. And again, the big difference from a year ago is the ride was just starting, you know? Hey, 50 wins, Knicks are back. This is what it's like when the Knicks are good. Yeah. This is what it's like when the Knicks are good. The entire city jumps in, and it's awesome. It's not so awesome when it doesn't continue. And we'll see if it does. And I truly hope that it does. It was a big week. It was a big week for the Knicks. Right, Hoffy? He's a big Knick guy.
I found the injury report. So far, Al Horford is out.
Mm-hmm.
Tatum, Porzingis, and Brown are questionable. And White and Holiday are probable.
Yeah, I mean, they're just going to let these guys rest here. So, as we said yesterday, probably not getting the full allotment of players. But that's even more reason where you have to win. Like, imagine you get smoked by the subs there. I don't know. It's nice to have Brunson back. I do think, and I was saying this yesterday, while I've been skeptical of how high the ceiling for the Knicks might be this year, I am as hopeful as I've been with the Knicks so far this year, because we could have been in a spot, you know, 1/10 of an inch the wrong direction. Bye-bye, Jalen Brunson. You done for the season, instead of being out for a month or so. And, you know, he played 34 minutes the other night. Didn't shoot it well. Who cares? He will. But he chipped away at the rust. Now we'll play Robinson, still chipping away at that rust. I know it's not quite like baseball. Chemistry matters. I just wish I felt a little bit better about these guys. We'll see. We shall see. Though, if you were watching the game, what happened with that Goldschmidt error? Was he trying to turn the double? Oh, you're on the phone. I'm sorry. Was he trying to turn double play?
Yes, he was.
What happened?
He got the ball. He bent down to pick it up.
Yeah.
Tried to transfer to his hand. Okay. Fell out, so he couldn't throw the second anymore.
Then he just picked it up and stepped on the bag, got the out.
Correct.
So is that an error? I know you can't assume a double play, so it's probably not.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, he's actually looked pretty good. And we'll see. We'll see what happens here. Maybe the Mets start hitting today for you, Hoff? You know?
Well, listen, if Pete Alonso continues to hit, you know who's going to be looking for Pete Alonso next year in the offseason?
The Yankees?
Yeah. There's no more Vlad talk.
No more Vladdy. Goldschmidt signed a one-year, $12.5 million deal. Listen, you know, all the stuff that we've talked about with Pete, and you know where I've stood and where I stand now. If you told me that Pete was, and we'll see if he becomes this, but if you told me Pete would just stay at around 260, 265, then I would have been saying the Yankees should investigate signing him a year ago. I'm just tired of guys who hit 230. I've had enough of them. You know, Rizzo.
To be fair, though, about Pete.
Stanton.
Pete, I won't deny, had a bad year last year. That was a really off year. He batted .240 in an off year. The year before that, his numbers were very productive for batting .217. I know that that's not a good number to wrap your head around. Besides that, he was always between .260, .270. Mm-hmm. Honestly, take away the 56 games he played in 2020.
Yeah.
The other three seasons, he's a .260 to .270 ball player.
I agree. No, I understand that. But there's, listen, there's always a point in somebody's career where it starts to go the other way, whether you lose a little bat speed, maybe the league figures you out. I don't know. But no, I didn't really, if you go back to when he hit 217 with all the home runs and the ribbies, I was like, all right, 217's not going to cut it. But I didn't jump off the, not that I thought he was a superstar, because I thought he was a little limited with the other areas, but I was a Pete Alonso fan. I mean, not some crazy fan, but a believer. It's when you now, it's the 2 years in a row. That's what gives me pause.